Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
So it's not a sin in your church to have an abortion?
That's the kind of conversation we would have, finding out your story, where you're from. God's the judge. People have to live with their own conviction.
The science is clear. The Bible is clear. And if we're honest, our intuitions are clear. We know what we're killing. We're killing a human being.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Let's do this.
It's the Wretched Radio Mail Call Delivery Bag Q&A Infotainment Nationwide Extravaganza, featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Any special message for all the kids watching at home?
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall.
DeVille is here!
Ooh, this is Wretched Radio. It is no longer an option. You must send wretched things, sermon stories, articles, anything wretched to idea at wretched.org. And you must text questions, comments, conundrums, snarks to 877-282-2337 because Jimmy needs help. Now, I can say that pretty much any day of the week, but on this particular day, the help that he needs is you and lots of wretched stuff, because next week we are going to dedicate an entire week to questions, comments, conundrums, snarks, whatever is on your mind, please send it to Jimmy. We're doing a little kind of a political palate cleanser. Is what we're doing. Don't know about you, but pretty much everything that I'm seeing, even through Christian news sources, it's just all political. I mean, right now the temperature is just getting hotter and hotter and hotter and hotter. And so we thought, let's just talk about Christian concerns, church issues. And the best way to do that is for you to send stuff to idea@wretched.org or text away 877-282-2337.
All right, this is a text from Anonymous. Todd, I have asked a man of my church to mentor me, and I'm wondering what the expectations of a mentor and mentee should be.
The expectations should be from the elder that you will be faithful, that if he asks you to do something, that you will do it. And I think your expectation would be that he would be faithful to you and that he would download not just life experience that has some value, but that he would teach you biblically. Because it's good to be discipled or mentored, if you will, by somebody who has Christian experience. But I don't think that's as helpful as studying the Bible together and then using that wisdom to accompany the Bible teaching. Because I think a discipleship relationship that does not center around Scripture, helpful, but I don't think nearly as potent as it could be if it is centered on the Bible. You got anything else, Jimmy, for expectations?
I think what you said was absolutely right.
That's right. You better believe it, Pally boy. I'm a talk show host.
But I think one of the areas, because I've been involved in this, in discipleship from both sides of it, I think on both ends, the commitment needs to be worked out.
I said that.
Well, no, I mean, from both ends. Now, if he's agreed to mentor you, then he has to be committed with his time, and vice versa. You have to be respectful of his time as well.
And also do whatever is asked of you.
Right.
To grow, it takes a little effort. Mm. And so if he suggests, hey, read this thing, read that thing, you would do well to do so, because the guy thinks that it's important and you've entrusted some confidence in him. So make sure you're responsible. He should make sure that he's responsible. And I think, too, as I would make an agreement up front. Can we miss time together, say, once every quarter? Sure. Stuff comes up. But if it's 2 weeks in a row without really a valid excuse, it's gone off the rails. Mm-hmm. And you probably need to reaffirm the commitment or reconsider the relationship. 877-282-2337.
Todd, this is from Jared. What are your thoughts on being slaves to Christ versus being co-heirs to the kingdom?
Absolutely. That's what I think. Right there.
Yep.
It's both.
Yep.
It's both. We're a slave and we're a co-heir. I mean, it's crazy to think that the king would give us that position. It is absolutely staggering. And if that is the only way we think about ourselves, look out. You're probably going to get a little puffed up in some way, shape, or form. But we also need to remember simultaneously that he has made slaves co-heirs of everlasting life. Woo! And that keeps us balanced. So it is both things. You could probably add a number of descriptors to that that are biblical. We're all of those things. And where we tend to get into trouble is when we just focus on one thing or the other. Don't we see movements like that? Sometimes we see ministries like that. Okay, so for instance, let's just say here at Wretched, all we talked about is how wretched we are. Because we've seen too many people, they go too light on sin. They don't talk about total depravity, probably don't even know what the word is. And so we're going to talk about sin. Well, we'd all become really bummed out Christians, wouldn't we? But we are wretched, aren't we? Still, our flesh, it still desires the things of this world. That even though we've been given a new heart, it just resides in our unglorified members. And that is why our enemy is the world, the flesh, and the devil. I don't believe we have two natures. You've got one new nature. The problem is you got residue, and you haven't been glorified yet. And so we sin. We desire to sin. That's the unfortunate reality. But if all we do is focus on that, ooh. What kind of joy are you going to have down deep in your heart? Probably not much. And so we want to find our balance. That could be one of the greatest challenges in Christianity. And forget the external threats. That's probably the local church threat and a danger for you and me. We are whiplash people. I'm telling you, we see it all the time, don't we? Historically, even take a look at contemporary evangelicalism. And where did this movement come from? Oh, it was in response to that movement. It's because they were doing that over here. And we don't want to do that. But we don't want to relegate the things that maybe are receiving too much attention. We simply want to find our balance. Otherwise, you'll be like the drunken man who gets on the horse, falls off the left side, gets back on and falls off the right side. I was going to try some sort of cowboy illustration here, but wow, ill-equipped to do so. Send stuff to 877-282-2. Hold on to the horn of the saddle right toward the setting sun in the west where the cattle graze all day on the slopes of the... Can you read something quickly, please?
Let you dig your own grave there. This is from Kelly. Todd, is it wise to withhold from taking communion if you have unresolved conflict with certain adult family members?
Yes. Good on you.
She says, I've tried to make peace with one of the two family members, but honestly, it didn't get anywhere, and I'm not sure if I should approach the other one yet because I'm still battling anger.
So let me put it this way. You should either desire to or have endeavored to make peace. But that doesn't mean that you're going to always be able to actually have peace with everybody. You might not achieve that goal. So does that mean then you're disqualified and you shouldn't approach the table? I don't think so. Because there are going to be times when somebody just rejects it. They don't want to reconcile. But then that becomes their sin. You're commanded to live peaceably among the brethren. You're commanded to not have stuff going on. And so if you've made an effort, however, to try to reconcile that and they've rebuffed you, then I think that your conscience should be clean. You can go to the table without feeling that you're going to be guilty of taking it unworthily, and you don't have to worry about becoming sick or dying. It is up to the individual. This is true also in relationships. Let's just say Jimmy and I get into a fight. Have we ever been in a fight, Jimmy?
I don't think so.
I don't think we have, but let's imagine for just a second. We get into a tussle. I sin, Jimmy sinned. And I say, hey, Jimmy, I just want to let you know, brother, I was way out of line and I'm really sorry. And Jimmy responds by saying,
you should be. Oh.
Wow. I was a little concerned because you missed rehearsal that I would just get dead air. That was a little too quick. I don't mind telling you. All right. So he just shuts me down. No, Jimmy, I mean it. So just so you know, I'm really, I hope can you forgive me? Will you forgive me?
I forgive you.
No, you're not supposed to do that.
Oh, I'm not supposed to forgive
you. This is why you need to make rehearsal. You're supposed to be a jerk.
I'm sorry. I can't be. It's not a jerk bone in my body.
So Jimmy says, imagine it's in his voice. Yeah, well, I'll think about it. Okay, can I go to communion? And I think the answer is yes. Now, this might be even more relevant for you. You're sitting in church. It's communion time, which I don't mind telling. This is a preferential issue. I'm just not a fan of tacking it on after the sermon. It feels like, oh, so we got to do this extra thing, huh? As opposed to incorporating it in the service. And the individual who's leading the liturgy, because you do have a liturgy, whether you call it that or not, he reads 1 Corinthians 11 and he warns you, hey, there are some criteria for taking this. You've got to be a believer. You've got to be at peace with everybody in the body, or you've got to desire peace and you can't have any unrepentant sin in your life. What do you do? Oh, here they come with the trays. Ah, and I just realized I got an issue with Jimmy that I've got to deal with. I think that if you commit to dealing with it, that means when this service is done, I'm making a beeline to Jimmy and we're going to get this thing reconciled. I think you're free to take the table because that's your heart's desire. Maybe, just maybe, that will help you to take communion with joy and not feeling like, oh no, am I going to get weak, sick, or even die? This is Wretched Radio. Preborn Ministries, pro-life ministry, rescuing babies. The war, let me tell you, it's raging out there. And Preborn is right on the front lines providing what is so powerful, ultrasounds. When a woman sees her baby 80% of the time, it's a no-brainer. That's my child. That's a baby in there, not a blob of tissue. Worldview is getting pumped into everybody through Hollywood, social media, the internet, universities, businesses, and government. If you'd be kind enough to consider supporting Preborn Ministries, that would be groovy. Lives are saved. Women, men, hear the gospel. Please consider supporting this network of clinics that is doing such great work. Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
Knowledge is power, but only when applied. Like a story I heard about on the radio the other day, this woman worked a job for a tech company previously, and she stopped working at some point to be a mother. Years later, realized that the stock options they gave her were worth millions. Imagine having a bank account filled with millions of dollars, never using it. Well, that's theology without application. Introducing Integrated with Dr. John Krotz.
We'll help you connect head and heart, turning Bible knowledge into life-changing action.
Thank you, Dr. Krotz. And at Fortis Institute, listen, we're standing strong in a world that's losing its weight. Our name means strong in Latin, and that's our promise to you. Visit FortisInstitute.org or download the Fortis Plus app today and start listening to Integrated with Dr. John Krotz, and then join us in standing firm no matter the cost, because in a world that's falling apart, we're building something strong. FortisInstitute.org. It's FortisInstitute.org.
Would you like the university experience without the, you know, university experience? The Masters University invites you to visit their campus, or you can visit them online at masters.edu/wretched to discover a Christian college that is biblical, that offers all of the academic excellence you desire: sports, athletics, arts, communication, all of the activities of, you know, a secular university without the, you know, secular parts. Please consider the Masters University online, or of course, on-campus learning, undergrad, master's, and doctoral programs. It's Masters University, the university with the university experience without the university experience. Masters.edu/wretched.
Know your church fathers. Hippolytus was perhaps the most important theologian of the 3rd century. He wrote a 10-volume book called Refutation of All Heresies, which catalogued and criticised hundreds of pagan philosophies, Gnostic teachings, and Christian heresies. Hippolytus was exiled and died a martyr under the Roman Empire. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Oh, paging George Orwell, I could use some help here. This is Wretched Radio, hoping that you'll send lots of stuff. Why? Because Jimmy needs it. Next week, we will dedicate the entire week to just talking about Christian stuff. Church issues, family dynamics, battling sin, becoming conformed more and more into the image of Jesus. And in order for Jimmy to be able to perform his duties, we needed to send stuff to idea@wretched.org or text away at 877-282-2337. And if you'd be so kind, don't send these types of articles that require some sort of Orwellian explanation. So this was just sent to me. Actually, it was texted to me by Mrs. Friel. Trans men's soccer team was routed 19-0 by biological men. Hold on. I got to translate what that means here. Here it is. The first soccer team made up entirely of trans men was defeated 19-0 by a team of biological men. So a group of male players dominated a team consisting of women who identify as men. So now I get it. What kind of a world do we live in? Right. I need to do gender math. Okay, wait a second. So if it's a trans dude, that means it was a dudette, but now it's a dude. So in other words, the ladies were defeated 19-0 by the men. Well, that shouldn't shock any. Well, I suppose if you're progressive, it shocks you. And probably you're going to have to just really, really come up with some sort of wild explanation for this and scramble to defend it somehow. But here's the reality. Men and women are different. I know that's pretty obvious, but apparently not these days. And it's so much better. So much better. Once again, I think sometimes we Christians, we could focus more on the positive as opposed to the negative, pointing out the negative for certain and how ludicrous all of this is. But that's to focus on only one side of the argument, if you will, that this is bad. This is bad for those women. It's bad for femininity. It's bad for our kids. It's bad for women's sport. Yep, true. But what if we talked about the better and elevated why God made male and female? That it's really good. When men are acting like godly men and women are acting like godly women, there just ain't nothing better. And I'm not just talking about the marriage context. I'm talking about society. I'm talking about church. I'm talking about any organization. Because of different giftings, because of different skills, right? It just, you know what? Okay, I think I'm going to say this. And I think I won't get hammered for it. But if I say this wrong, Jimmy, you tell me. Why is it that we are so fast to celebrate the distinctives of people with different degrees of melanin or different cultural aspects, the different how we as different communities have different cultures, customs, and norms? We think that's the great look, and we got all these different people. So you got the Italians cooking, you got the Germans, they're taking over other nations. You know, some of the stereotypes that we live in. And we go, yeah, that's really good. So bring all of these countries in because it's good for us. But when we say it's good that men act like men and women act like women, oh, man, that's the worst thing in the world. That's so sexist, and you're Neanderthal, dumb Christian. Why don't we celebrate that? I think we could participate in the conversation and bring that aspect to it so that there's, rather than just carp, carp, negative, negative, it's beautiful. Sort of like Psalm 133. I'll rewrite it, and that's okay. I can do that because that's already been done. The Message, Passion Translation. How good and how pleasant it is when men act like men and women act like women and they do life together. It's a good thing. It's like oil coming down on the beard of Aaron, okay, probably lost the gender thing in there somewhere, but it's good. It's good that men do men things and women do women things. It is better for all of us. It's better for kids. It's better for sports. It just makes the world a better place. And don't we all want world peace? Please send stuff to 877-282-2337. Am I going to get in trouble for that illustration?
No, I don't think so.
We do it, though, don't we?
We do. We most certainly do.
And I think there is a right way. I think there's a wrong way to do that, but I think there's a right way to do it. Isn't it good that we have a variety of restaurants in this country? We don't have any problem with going to Mexican food, Italian food. You don't see much Polish food, do you? That's interesting. No, I can't think of any. There's a Russian restaurant in St. Paul up on Cathedral Hill. And I have to confess, I went to it thinking, oh boy, you never hear the words Russian and cuisine in the same sentence, do you? It was really good. I was like, wow, it was really great food. And we dig that, and we can bring those elements, and we can make it a better society as long as we all realize that there are certain cultural norms that we all agree to. We affirm this is the best way to go about living as a country. You need that. Otherwise, you don't have a civilization. You have total anarchy. There's a wrong way to do it. I think that's what the progressives are about. And there is a right way. But I do think it's fair to say to the progressives, why do you celebrate the distinctives between nationalities and ethnic groups, but the distinctives between men and women are anathema? Smell anything wrong with that? 877-282-2337.
Okay, so I know next week we're going to do the political palate cleanse.
Wait a second. Do I see a conjunction coming? And there it is.
However, let's do one last political question today, maybe another one, but this one for sure. Heather says that she was watching Trump on Fox News, and he mentioned implementing the death penalty for drug dealers, and she's wondering if this type of judgment is biblical.
We got to start in Genesis 9. What do we see? That God actually has such a high view of humanity that if you take a life, your life is required of you. And I think, honestly, I think Cain and Abel, there was already an understanding you can't murder somebody or you're going to die. But nevertheless, it's clear in Genesis chapter 9, if you take the life of an image bearer, your life is required of you. So God, not a hearty like, woohoo affirmation, but he affirms the death penalty is not a sin. In fact, it's actually a needed deterrent from people hurting other people. Now, I think you can find that affirmation, again, in Romans chapter 13. I think it's broader than just the death penalty when it describes that the government is given the power of the sword. It's not always to execute, but it is to punish evildoers. So I think the Bible is okay with the death penalty because both of those verses, if you noted, are outside of the Mosaic Covenant. The Mosaic Covenant, which I believe the entire thing, courtesy of Hebrews 8 through 10, is no longer enforced, but we can take the principles from there. So we do see the Mosaic Covenant saying that the death penalty is required for more than just murder. There's a laundry list of sins that could be committed. So what do we do with that? I think we take the principle. I think we see clearly Genesis 9, Romans 13. This is outside of the Mosaic Covenant. God is, if you will, okay with the death penalty. In the Mosaic Covenant, I think you see that he's okay with it. But the theme that qualifies the death penalty for being implemented is that it is marring the imago Dei, whether it is murder or you are so upsetting a family or you are so undermining the peace of a community and you're unruly and you can't be brought under control that you can receive the death penalty. And so I think we Christians could say to the government, please implement the death penalty for more than just murder. Now, what are those things? Would a drug dealer qualify for that? And the answer is possibly, I think it depends on the drugs that are being dealt. I don't think you could say all drug dealers should be put to death because it could be a kid selling a bag of pot to another kid. And that could be construed as drug dealing. Probably not going to execute, shouldn't execute that kid. But if there's somebody who has such a low view of humanity, and if they are so willing to destroy an entire community, then I think the death penalty indeed could be warranted for drug dealers. They are looking to harm people. And if they are trafficking in such a dangerous with such a dangerous commodity that it can kill people, you don't understand Imago Dei. You're willing to do that so that you can make money and live a lavish lifestyle. I think that there would be biblical support for the death penalty. Jimmy, you got any additions to that? Subtractions?
No, I
corrections.
No, I agree with that. If what you're doing leads to the death of someone, then you're liable.
Not only leads to the death of somebody, but if it makes life so horrible for a community, you and I do not get this. Because you and I, the world, which is so big in the West, but you bring it down. If your community, let's say it's a half mile radius. That's everybody. It's got all your stores, all your commerce. Everything is right in that community. And there's not another village for 6 miles away. And the only way you can get there is courtesy of your 2 feet, Fred Flintstone. Suddenly somebody who's really big trouble inside of that community suddenly you start to go, whoa, I think I understand why God actually is for, not in a joyous way, the death penalty. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for your daily Fortis News Break, a production of Fortis Institute. I'm Jimmy Hicks. Well, let's kick things off with a head scratcher. You'll get that pun in a moment. This comes from the UK, where a court has ruled that calling a man bald is now sexual harassment, equating it to comments about a woman's, well, yeah. We're living in a world that's in a crisis of family values, and courts are busy creating categories of victimhood. Speaking of misplaced priorities, let's go to Canada now, where their assisted suicide program has seen a staggering 45,000 deaths since 2016. That's like wiping the entire city of Palm Springs, California off the map. This isn't death with dignity, as they're trying to call it. It's a culture of death that devalues the sanctity of human life. Now let's talk business. Walgreens is closing 1,200 stores over the next 3 years. It looks like the pharmacy giant is the latest casualty of the Biden economy. We should see this as more than just another corporate reshuffle. There is a human cost here. Thousands of hardworking Americans are going to be without a way to support their family. It's a reminder that all of these progressive economic policies have real-world consequences for families and communities. Now to the world of comics, Marvel's new Hawkeye is a non-binary, two-spirit Native American, in case you haven't heard about that, because apparently hitting bullseyes was just not enough of a superpower. This obsession with identity politics and rewriting established characters to check off diversity boxes, it's not just bad storytelling, it's a deliberate attempt to undermine traditional values and confuse young people about gender and sexuality. And an asylum seeker in Austria has gotten his application fast-tracked after he declared himself homosexual despite being married with 5 kids. That's a plot twist, isn't it? A new study shows that practicing Christians have reported higher levels of human flourishing compared to the non-religious. Oh, color me unsurprised. Turns out having a moral foundation, a sense of purpose, and a supportive community around you leads to a more fulfilling life. And in campus ministry news, CREW, I'm sure you've all heard of CREW, they're removing their compassionate and faithful curriculum by the end of the year. The program, which aimed to address LGBTQ issues, caused CREW to get in a little bit of hot water because it did not fully affirm biblical sexuality. And, well, CREW says they affirm traditional values, so they are removing the curriculum. Wonder why it's going to take till the end of the year. But the better question is, how did it get implemented in the first place? And that wraps up today's Fortis News Break. I'm Jimmy Hicks. If you want more, you can download Fortis Plus or sign up to become a Fortis Insider to get daily content sent straight to your email inbox. You can do both at fortisinstitute.org. And don't forget, you can subscribe to Fortis News on your favorite podcast app to get these updates daily. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.
Important dates in Christian history. 432 AD. After escaping years of slavery in Ireland as a young man, Patrick, a British Christian, returns to Ireland as a missionary. His work results in multitudes of Irish people coming to the Christian faith. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Can you you guess what song is stuck in my head? This is Wretched Radio. That's right. With the family down the street. You know the next line? Brilliant. Through the courtesy of Fred's 2 feet. When you're with the Flintstones, you'll have a due time and have a due time. You'll have a gay... Oh, I guess we can't sing that anymore. Why is it that I've got a song from a cartoon that I have not watched in decades stuck in my noggin? Titus 3, 1 through 7. Still working on that. All that to say, make your kids memorize the Bible now. Believe me, when they get as old as Jimmy, it's going to be a struggle. 8-7. I was talking to Josh Bice the other day.
Okay.
At the G3 ministry, which they have so much good stuff there. And we were talking about finishing well, not dropping the baton at the finish line as you get older. And he said, yeah, brother, I'm telling you, as we get closer to the finish line, we just got to make sure that we're redoubling our efforts. And I said, well, how close to the finish? How old are you, Josh? 47. You are still a pop. As Vody Bakum would say, you turn 40, you just stop being an idiot. 47. And he's complaining about his aches and pains. Okay, he didn't. But that's the next step if you're not careful. 47 years old. 877-282-2337.
This is a text from Anonymous. Todd, why didn't God clearly reveal his Trinitarian nature in Genesis 1?
Clearly reveal?
Clearly reveal.
Well, if you put the emphasis on clearly, the answer to that would be, don't know. I don't know why he didn't spell it out. I, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are going to be creating the universe now. Three persons, one God. We do have a progressive revelation where God reveals himself progressively, not by the way, a trajectory hermeneutic. I think that was one of the hot takes. I haven't heard it yet. One of the fellows did a hot take on trajectory hermeneutics, that God is becoming more like this. So we see this in the Old Testament. Women were not treated very well. Jesus started to treat them better. Paul said there's no distinction between male and female. Therefore, women should be pastors because clearly God was aimed in that direction. No, that's not progressive revelation. Progressive revelation is where God just through the pages and through time reveals himself more and more. And it's not just regarding the Trinity. It's also about his character and nature. I could ask the same question about a number of theology proper doctrines. Why didn't God say that clearly in this verse that he's omniscient? Well, he progressively revealed that. Now, having said that, I could make the case for omniscience from Genesis 1:1. I could make the case for omnipotence in Genesis 1:1. And I could make the case for the Trinity in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Okay, hold on. God, Spirit, let us create man in our own image. John 1:1 tells us the word that was spoken to create the world when he said, let there be light, is Jesus Christ. So from the entirety of the Bible, I can very easily say that the Trinity is in Genesis 1. Why didn't he make it clear? I would just put it underneath the category of progressive revelation. You got anything else, Jimmy?
Yeah, I would say that I think the immediate concern of Genesis 1 is introducing God as creator.
Sure.
Yeah, and I think that's where the emphasis is.
Right.
Yeah.
And we'd learn more and more about God as we go. The trajectory hermeneutic, boy, they're aiming for something else now with the trajectory hermeneutic. I think that they might be doing that with the LGBTQ issue, but you will know more about the trajectory hermeneutic if you go to Fortis Plus, because one of the guys, I'm quite certain, did a hot take on that. And I'm looking, I'm going to do this right now. I know this is agitating, but never been beyond agitating. I'm going to fortisplus.org because I'm looking at the daily newsletter that we send out, the stuff that all these guys are cranking out. All right, this happens to be which Bible translation is best. Caught in the act, how to address your child's, okay, it's cut off, but I happen to know that's about when you catch on his search engine that he's been looking at porn. How do you respond? I think that's Tim Challey's, if I'm not mistaken. This is what is causing big problems with Gen Z's. Okay, that's Adam Tyson. Pornography is plutonium. Why? Okay, that's a witness encounter. What is this? University betrayal and Polish porn bill? That looks really awful. Oh, that's you and your news right there.
That's right.
Listen to these subjects that are being addressed here. Learn to love this and you will flourish. The secret to finally overcoming sin. This is why so many laws are so rotten. Do you need a better role model? Tired of being controlled by OCD? Is deadly force ever biblically justified? Exposing the myth of neutrality and agnosticism. You start consuming this stuff, and they're pretty bite-sized nuggets. You can also get the podcasts these guys are doing. They're the bomb. You will grow. That's why we exist here at Fortis Institute. You can get all this stuff free at fortisplus.org. And then you can send stuff to idea@wretched.org.
All right, this is from Mark. Todd, what are your thoughts on Celebrate Recovery?
Things were going so well today.
Isn't that a Rick Warren thing?
Yeah, what do you know? I know. No, because it the foundation is wrong. It doesn't deal with the sin element of consuming too much booze. And without that identification of what it is that you're doing, it has no power. It has no power. Okay, what you're going to have to do then to stop drinking too much is just, without identifying, it's a sin. And God has better things for me. God wants me to be sober-minded and on the alert. Oh, there's dangers. I think that I've got motivation now. I can be a better dad. I can be a better husband. I can be a better provider. I can be a better church member. I can be a better citizen. Wow, God's ways are better. And if it's not framed exclusively biblically, it's just kind of a Christian. It's sort of like a lot of Christian morning shows. They basically talk about the exact same stuff and occasionally throw a Bible verse on or finish, 7 minutes talking about how terrible the politicians are in Washington. Well, aren't you glad that you're a church person? Because that's about as Christian as some of these programs get. Oh, suddenly it's Christian. No, it's not genuinely Christian, thoroughly Christian. And that's what Celebrate Recovery isn't. It is not Christian enough. It's got a veneer lacking power. It's more like a kind of an evangelical 12-step program. You can do better. Frame your struggle inside of the context of biblical language. In fact, this is my favorite descriptor of when it comes to biblical counseling. This, you want to interpret your issue biblically. You're not an alcoholic. The Bible has no category for that. You're a drunkard. And that labels it as a sin, not as a disease model. It's a sin that you're dealing with. And that's good news because God has the power to help you overcome your sin. So Celebrate Recovery. Thumbs down. You can do better. 877-282-2337.
I was trying to find it. I was hoping you'd talk a little longer, but I couldn't find it. But there is a really extensive article, treatment of Celebrate Recovery on ACBC's website.
No, I don't doubt it.
Yeah.
Yeah, just go to biblicalcounseling.com and do a search for Celebrate Recovery. Mm-hmm. Should be able to find it. They do. The whole... The kind of just putting a touch of Christianity on a 12-step program, it just isn't. Why? We've got something more powerful. We've got God, and we've got God's Word. And that is better than any 12-step program. There is so much power for you to be able to overcome your sin. You have the same Holy Spirit that Jesus Christ was anointed with the Holy Spirit. He didn't sin. Now, we could get into that debate about whether he was able to or not, but you've got that Holy Spirit. You don't have to sin. You don't have to. You have that much power dwelling inside of you. And the way to tap into that power, if you will, is to study that power. And that is why any sort of dealing with a sin issue, it's really quite simple. It has to be word-based, and Celebrate Recovery just isn't. You find it yet?
I did. It's titled An Analysis of the Celebrate Recovery Addictions Program. It was from earlier this year, from February.
Who wrote that, does it say?
Eric Davis and Matt Muma, both certified biblical counselors from Wyoming.
All right. So here's what we'll do. Jimmy, you got your speed readers on?
Yeah, I do.
All right, you're going to have about 3 minutes to read that article, and you can give us a little report on that.
Okay,
thing.
Okay.
Because I haven't looked at Celebrate Recovery for quite a number of years now. But what I remember is it's just, if Big Eva... And if contemporary music from Nashville gives you kind of like the, that's the feeling that I get from it. It's like, oh yeah, it's like Christianity, but it's not, and it's lacking power. Jimmy's report next on Wretched Radio.
Some people call it Halloween, others of us call it Reformation Day, but later this month, countless children will be knocking on our doors all over this country. You don't have to turn the porch light off and say, I don't celebrate this day. No, you can seize the opportunity with us here at Fortis Institute. This year, we're offering you a powerful way to engage. For a limited time, you can receive 50 copies of The Man Who Split Time, absolutely free. You just cover the shipping charge. Imagine as children come to your door, you can answer and offer them not just treats, but also the greatest gift of all. That's the message of our Lord Jesus Christ. Each booklet is a chance to plant seeds of faith in young hearts and young minds. Just visit fortisinstitute.org/Halloween to claim your free booklets right now. You just cover the shipping charge. Don't miss this opportunity to shine the light of the gospel on Reformation Day. Order your copies right now at fortisinstitute.org/Halloween.
There are many struggles experienced by our brothers and sisters in Ukraine, specifically those who run the Master's Academy International.
The biggest challenge for men attending TMAI, especially in our context in Ukraine, is the opposition from people in the church who oppose sound doctrine, and therefore men really struggle to transform their ministries in accordance with the Word of God.
The Master's Academy International in Ukraine, fighting a battle on two fronts. You've got Russia, of course, and you have opposition from the church in Ukraine for biblically trained pastors to preach the gospel. Would you please consider supporting the Master's Academy International? Adopt a seminary, 17 different countries. Might want to turn your attention to Ukraine. To learn more about this amazing legacy ministry, visit wretched.org/pastor, wretched.org/pastor.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. As you know, we're living in a brave new world, and that demands a brave new response. And that's why we've rebranded to Fortis Institute. Imagine integrating theology into your daily life with Dr. John Crotcher, guiding young men through cultural warfare with Dr. Adam Tyson, transforming your marriage and parenting with Pastor Brad Bigney, and finding healing through God's Word with Dr. Greg Giffert. Plus, Todd's still here with Wretched Radio and TV. He's just no longer alone. This is our boldest move yet, and we can't do it without you. As the world grows hostile to Christianity, we are continuing to stand firm, and we want you to stand with us. Would you consider joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner today? That is, if you're not currently strapped by any unmanaged debt and you're already giving to your local church. If those two areas of your life are okay, well, then visit fortisinstitute.org to get more information on how you can become an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Books of the Bible. The book of Proverbs is a collection of memorable sayings meant to encourage wisdom for godly living. Each proverb is to be understood on its own, and then in light of the rest of the book, and finally the whole Bible. When you desire wisdom, look to the book of Proverbs, which reminds us that the beginning of wisdom is the fear of God. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And now, the moment that everyone but Jimmy has been waiting for. This is Wretched Radio. Hit me, Jimmy Hicks.
What, you want to... Okay. Celebrate recovery. It ain't good.
And there you have it. The Cliff's notes of Celebrate Recovery, at least according to the Association of Certified Biblical Counselors. If you go to biblicalcounseling.com, type in Celebrate Recovery. There's a number of critiques that are available there. It starts with, I'm looking at their 8 steps. Now, by the way, the 8 steps begin with an R, then an E, then a C, then a, see what they did there? Recovery. See? See? Yeah. Well, Rick Warren was Southern Baptist, so that makes some sense right there. Here's the first step. On the road to recovery, courtesy of the supposedly biblical and not psychologically based Celebrate Recovery program, realize I'm not God. Okay, that's, yeah, that's easy. I admit that I'm powerless to control. I'm sorry. Is not he who is in you greater than he who is in the world? You are not powerless. You have the Holy Spirit in you. So I read the first line and I'm like, we're not off to a good start here, because that was the first sentence. Realize I'm not God, semicolon. I admit that I'm powerless to control my tendency to do the wrong thing and that my life is unmanageable. No, no, it's not. You have God dwelling in you. It is not unmanageable. You are under the authority and under the kingship of Jesus Christ. I think number 4, openly examine and confess my faults to myself. Confess my faults to myself? Certainly not biblical language, which this claims to be based on. It's not faults, not boo-boos, oopses, mistakes, or my addiction, sin. And then the list goes on. Now, they do a really fine job. It's a very long article, by the way. But here's critique number 1. Many of Celebrate Recovery's teachings are constructed from a misuse of Scripture and an erroneous hermeneutic. Well, I'm not shocked at that. Have you read The Purpose-Driven Life? That's all it is. 2, much of CR's theology clashes with sound Christian theology. CR generally teaches a view of God lower than that of Scripture. For example, according to Celebrate Recovery, God seems to not be sovereign over the hurt we experience in our lives. Quote, you need to understand and believe that the harm others did to you was from their free will. It was their choice, not God's. It was not God's will. Well, if we understand the word will correctly, that God does not affirm sin, everything is underneath God's will, or it doesn't happen. And on it goes with a bunch of examples of that, humanity and what our problem actually is. And then, wow, this is a thorough treatment of this. And then, of course, salvation, the way that it's presented, always falls biblically short when it comes to Celebrate Recovery and Purpose-Driven Life. Wow, is this article going on for days here? Here's the conclusion. When it comes to packaging an organized program, CR has done a fantastic job. Potential participants and leaders have everything they need to jump in. It's well-structured, creative, contains an incredible amount of ingenious acronyms in each lesson. Because there's power in acronyms, baby. CR's creators certainly have put much work and thought into the program. Here comes our favorite conjunction. However, as far as Christ-centered, biblically-based programs, CR falls significantly short. Though claiming to be biblically-based, its teachings are often constructed from a misuse of Scripture and an erroneous hermeneutic. Though claiming to be Christian-based, its theology often clashes with sound Christian theology. Therefore, a Christian church looking to shepherd people struggling with enslaving sins, not faults, should rethink using Celebrate Recovery. And then they offer, hey, this is good news. Here are some superior alternatives to Celebrate Recovery. And it provides all of the links there. You can find the article at biblicalcounseling.com, which is it's just a great source for all things biblical counseling, including certification. Jimmy.
Yes.
Okay, I'm not supposed to talk about Libby, because she's going to kind of be our January surprise here.
Mm-hmm.
But she's also a member of Alpharetta Bible Church. And she's just going to be beginning her doctoral program at Masters University in Biblical Counseling in January. She just got her master's. And she's working on a women's biblical counseling program at the church. And she just submitted the documents. Oh, man. Oh, man, Scylla, it is so good and it is so thorough and it is going to be so helpful. If your church does not have any sort of biblical counseling available, please go to biblicalcounseling.com and then send stuff because we're going to need it for next week to idea@wretched.org.
All right, this is from Mark. Todd, how can we be sure to never blaspheme the Holy Spirit?
Well, you can be sure because you're in Christ. And somebody who's a Christian can't blaspheme the Holy Spirit. In fact, you could actually argue that nobody can commit that sin today because the context is Jesus, his presence, he's doing miracles, the people watching them deny him, hence blaspheming the Holy Spirit. So technically, that particular sin can't be committed. Having said that, can an individual who is outside of Christ, if you're in Christ, I don't want to say you shouldn't worry about blaspheming the Holy Spirit as if to like make light of sin, but you can't do that in Christ. You can't. But it's somebody who's outside of Christ, can they harden their own heart? Absolutely. Can they get to the point where God says, done, your eternity, it is settled now, not when you die, now. You've hardened your heart. Then God is not going to make any efforts to penetrate that. He's done. Can that happen? Yeah. What is that sin? Is that the sin leading to death? Well, I don't think it's a particular sin, but I think that sin would be when God gets to the point where he's like, I'm done. I am done. You are at this moment fixed outside of Christ. But that can't happen to somebody who is in Christ. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Joshua. Todd, does demon possession still occur today? And if so, do we still have the power through Christ to cast them out?
Yes, it does happen. Do we have the power? That makes it sound like, can we do exorcisms? If that wasn't the intention, I'm sorry. But do we have the powers? Like, do Christians have, or do some Christians have, the ability, a gifting, to cast out demons? And the answer to that question is no. Does that mean we're powerless? We can't do anything? We just have to watch? No. But it is God who drives out demons. When he indwells an individual, there ain't room for a little devil in there. God does not accept roommates. And so if the person gets saved, the demon goes. So that's the power that we have to proclaim the gospel. God regenerates an individual, and then the demons leave because they have to, because the Holy Spirit now indwells that person, which is why a Christian cannot be possessed by a demon. How the demons and how the devil can mess with you, I don't know exactly how he's able to do that. I don't think he can get into your brain. I don't think he can read your thoughts. I don't think that he can enter your dreams. But somehow, he is indeed able to tempt. He is indeed able to somehow push us toward sin. How that happens, don't know. But can he dwell in you as a believer? Absolutely not. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Kimber. Todd, I want to ask your opinion on biblical novels. Is it okay to read them, or does it fall under changing the scriptures?
Well, I guess I would have to know what a biblical novel is.
It sounds like more or less fiction. I think that's the way I take it.
I think we need to have a chosen discussion on whether or not we should be portraying what we think might have happened. I think I've felt this way for a long time, but any of these unbiblical, there's a new movie coming out. It should be amazing. It's on Mary. What could possibly go wrong? And the executive producer is Joel Osteen. So what could possibly be wrong with that movie? Hold on. So the movie, I read the press release on it, or whatever the article was that I read. And the woman playing Mary said this teenager really, really thought about what it would be like to be Mary. And I just wanted to show what, you know, she went through. And it's like, hold on, that isn't revealed to us in the Bible. So this is an actor's musings on how Mary thought or felt or behaved. And when that's when we start taking Bible subjects and embellishing them or imagining under good pretense of, hey, we're just trying to help people understand. We need to help people understand the Bible, not what we think was swirling around it. So these, if it's a biblical novel that, well, so this is a retelling of Joshua. We don't want somebody's imagination. We want truth. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.